The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter No. 7, Text No. 51, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 4, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter No. 7, Text No. 51. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yanme Bhagavato Ditam Sangraho Yang Vibhutinam Tametad Vipulikuru. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Narada, this science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it was spoken as the accumulation of His diverse potencies. Please expand this science yourself. Purport. The Bhagavatam, in a nutshell, spoken by the Personality of Godhead, in about a half dozen verses, which will appear ahead, is the science of God, and it is the potent representation of the Personality of Godhead. He, being absolute, is non-different from the science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahmaji, received this science of Godhead from the Lord directly, and he handed over the same to Narada, who in his turn ordered Srila Vyasadeva to expand it. So, the transcendental message of the Supreme Lord is not mental speculation by the mundane wranglers, but is uncontaminated, eternal, perfect knowledge beyond the jurisdiction of material modes. The Bhagavad Purana is therefore the direct incarnation of the Lord in the form of transcendental sound. And one should receive this transcendental knowledge from the bona fide representative of the Lord in the chain of disciplic succession, from the Lord to Brahmaji, from Brahmaji to Narad, from Narad to Vyas, from Vyas to Shukadeva Goswami, from Shukadeva Goswami to Suta Goswami. The ripened fruit of the Vedic tree drops from one hand to another without being broken by falling suddenly from a high branch down to the earth. Therefore, unless one hears the science of Godhead from the bona fide representative of the disciplic succession, as above mentioned, for one to understand the theme of the science of Godhead will be a difficult job. It should never be heard from the professional Bhagavatam reciters who earn their livelihood by gratifying the senses of the audience. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dati Svapadantikam. So, even though this Srimad Bhagavatam is such a wonderful thing, Srimad Bhagavatam must be wonderful. Why? Because it is Krishna Himself. And Krishna is very wonderful. He's the source of everything that is wonderful. Anytime we experience something that we think is wonderful, then we should understand this is simply the manifestation of Krishna. Because Krishna is the source of everything wonderful. Therefore, Krishna must be unlimitedly wonderful. Simply wonderful. So, it is the nature of this material world that even that which is most sublime, that which is most wonderful, that which is most auspicious, that thing can be used in a wrong way. Many years ago, when I was a brahmachari, I was visiting our Juhu temple. At that time, our Giriraj Maharaj, he was there in charge of the project. So he offered to take me around preaching. I thought, yes, this is very nice to see how they preach here in Bombay. So I went out preaching, went out to accompany with him preaching around Bombay. And he took me to one place where they were having Bhagavat Saptaha. I didn't see the actual event. That was being held in the evening, but he showed me the setup. See where this garland is hanging here, how high that is? Yes. So there was a Vyasa San about that high. And there was a ladder in the back, so the Guruji, he'd climb up, and he was sitting way, way up in the sky, you see. And then, along the side, they had a smaller platform about this high. And there would be a whole bunch of pundits there on either side of the big Guru Maharaj, you see. And on the side, somebody, they'd all be chanting simultaneously. Somebody would be first canto, somebody second canto. And this would all be going like softly in the background. The whole Bhagavatam is being vibrated. But he's up on the top talking about Krishna kissing the gopis, you see. And that's all. They just want to hear how Krishna's kissing the gopis. So it certifies their own kissing business, you see. So they can go home and kiss the rest of the evening away. Hear about Krishna kissing and then go home and do their own kissing, you see. So they call this Bhagavatam, you see. So Bhagavatam is not a treatise telling us how nice is this kissing business. That is not the business of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is to tell us how to get beyond this kissing business. How to come to the platform beyond this material body. As long as one is thinking they are the body, then they must be interested in sense gratification. That is unavoidable. Why? Anandamayo bhyasa. Isn't it? The living entity's nature is enjoy. He naturally wants to enjoy. So as long as he thinks, I am male, I am female. Even now, if I say, okay, all the ladies, raise your hand. You see? The ladies that raise their hand and say, all the men, raise your hand. But actually, that's false. If I said, all the spirit souls who have female bodies should now raise their hand, then that's correct. But I say, okay, I want all the ladies to raise their hand. That's false. Because I am not lady, I am not man. I am spirit soul. His body is simply covering. So now I may be wearing the dress of a male. In previous lifetime I was wearing dress of female. So the Bhagavatam is there to bring us to that platform completely beyond this rotting, disgusting material body. It really is a lump of ignorance. I mean, it really is. There's no doubt. We sometimes think we can enjoy it. But how much pleasure is there in this body? I mean, really. compared to the unlimited ocean of nectar that is there in Krishna's name, how much nectar is there? That Vaishnava poet, he has compared it to simply one little drop of water in the desert. So I ask you, if you are dying of thirst in the desert, you're almost completely dead, I say, I have come to save you. Now open your mouth. And I take a little eyedropper and I put two drops of water in your tongue. Ting, ting. Will that revive you? Granted, it will feel good. Oh, it'll feel so good on your tongue. But is it enough to revive you? No, it'll just frustrate you. Oh, it was so good. Now more, I want more. But there is no more. Those two little tiny drops of water, you're dying in the desert and all you're getting is two drops of water. Oh, frustrating, you see. So that's our material happiness. You get a little slight sensation of pleasure. And then, oh, where's the rest of the pleasure? Come on, I want more. But the material nature doesn't give it. Material nature says, now I've given you that little sensation, that little illusion of pleasure. Now I've got you in my clutches. Now I'm going to smash you. You see? Maya says, my dear boy, my dear girl, come. Lay your head in my lap. Nice boy, nice girl. And then cut the throat. You see? So the Bhagavatam is meant to bring us out of this deluded condition in which we think that there is some pleasure to be had in the relationship between the senses and the objects of the senses. You see? How can the Bhagavatam do that? Well, the first point is that because there is such pleasure, such unlimited ocean of pleasure does exist. It is not, as the atheists would say, just some religious dogma meant to brainwash the foolish sentimentalists into spending their money on the church. Is it? As Karl Marx says, religion is the opiate of the people. So we agree that sectarian religion is the opiate of the people. But we are not talking about sectarian religion here. Krishna says, give up religion. Sarvadharmam. Give up all varieties of so-called religion and simply come back to your original constitutional position, which is Jivera Sarupahoi Krishnera Nityadas. This Krishna consciousness process is not to impose something on the living being. People have this false conception that if I go to the Hare Krishna temple, they will brainwash me. They will impose some, they will hypnotize me. You see? Hare Krishna, and I'll come out mesmerized and hypnotized. Hare Krishna, Krishna, like that. You see? So I better not go there. But that is not an all of that. The fact is that the material nature has imposed upon us this false conception. Aham bhogi. I am the enjoyer. The difficulty is we are not the enjoyers. No matter how much we try to enjoy, we cannot be satisfied. All we really have to do to come back to our natural position is to realize I am servant of God. That will satisfy. We do not require so many big arrangements to be happy and satisfied. High-tech arrangements, you see. All we need is to become purely fixed in our original nature. So this Krishna consciousness process is a process of cleaning away all those things which have been artificially imposed upon the consciousness by the material nature. The same phenomenon which has entangled us can liberate us also. The same principle which has entangled us deeper and into deeper and darker delusion, that same principle will liberate us. What is that principle? Sangha. The nature, the herd instinct, or the desire for Sangha is a universal principle. Everyone wants association. So we simply have to associate in such a way that we become enlightened. Therefore, the most important principle to begin the pathway of bhakti is sadhu sangha. As soon as we have a little faith in the process of awakening the dormant Krishna consciousness within the heart, the next step is we must take to the association of the sadhus. How we associate with the sadhus, that's very important. Sometimes we are neglectful of the sadhus, and that's not good for us, you see. Sometimes we are rude to the sadhus, either by dealing with them in the rough way or not dealing with them when they should be dealing with them. These things are not good. We have to proactively cultivate very nice, warm, loving relationships with the sadhus, the devotees of the Lord. Rupa Goswami has given us 6 loving exchanges. So we have to learn how to dive deeply. Not that it's some austerity for me to associate with devotees, and I just want to minimize it. You see? Sometimes we may think, well, since I commit offenses when I associate with devotees, I just won't associate with them, and that way I'll avoid committing offense. But that is the worst offense. To completely give up the association of devotees is the most offensive thing. So what we have to do instead is seek out devotees. Find out where are the devotees of the Lord here in my neighborhood, in my town, in my city, in my village, in my country, wherever I am. Find out where are the devotees of the Lord. Where are those persons who are seriously trying to awaken the dormant, enlightened consciousness within their hearts? You see, let me enter into that sangha. Let me wake up in the Bhagavatam class. You see. Let me not associate with tamaguna. If we associate with tamaguna, then what do we become? Tamaguni. Tamaguni has to go to the lower species in his next life. You want to go down to become bear? I remember in my college days, there was one boy in our dormitory. They called him the bear. Because every weekend that was his thing. He would go to sleep on Friday night and he would just see how long he could sleep. I forget how long, but it's some outrageous, you know, he would sleep like for 24 hours or something. That was his thing. He just wanted to sleep as long as possible. So we have to disassociate, especially during the Bhagavatam class, we must disassociate ourselves from the tamagun, and we must associate with the mode of pure goodness by hearing with rapt attention, even if we have to beat our mind. The mind wants to drift off here, drift off there. Well, the class will be over soon, I'll be going here. No. When you're in the Bhagavatam class, you have to focus. Just imagine if you were in the position of Parikshit Maharaj. How much you would be focused. What if I told you that in 7 minutes a snake bird is going to come swooping in and bite you? And you're going to leave your body in 7 minutes before the greeting, which is in 17 minutes, according to my... What if you knew that in 7 minutes you were going to leave your body? How much would you be paying attention to the Bhagavatam? Because this transcendental sound vibration is Krishna himself. It's not my words. It's not the words of a croaking toad, you see. This is Krishna himself appearing in transcendental sound vibration. So, we should hear with rapt attention, with intense focus of the mind. We should tune in our consciousness as carefully as we possibly can. Krishna consciousness is actually not simply a process of doing this and doing that, busy, 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 busy. Although we do that. We stay very busy in Krishna's service. That's very good. Because it's hard for Maya to hit a moving target. But at the same time, as we engage in these busy activities, doing this, doing that, going, 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 coming, going, coming, going, you see, we have to learn how to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean of prema bhakti. Why? Well, that's where the nectar is, is it? What is that deepness? In the beginning, we all began on the platform which is known as offensive chanting. Psalms, offensive. We start chanting in a very offensive way. We can't avoid it. And that means our hearing is also offensive. Our remembering, we start off in the offensive stage. What's the goal? The offenseless stage. What's in the middle? Clearing. In the middle, you're clearing off the offenses. Well, you get to the point where I've cleared off 1% of my offenses, so I'm 99% offensive and 1% offenseless. And then gradually you go to 2%. Well, I'm only 98% offensive now, and I'm 2% offenseless. In this way, you just got to keep moving forward. Every day when you hear the Bhagavatam class, every day when you chant your rounds, every day when you do your prescribed duties given by your authorities, every minute when you remember Krishna, every time you touch Prabhupada's books, all these activities, darshan, honoring prasadam, all these wonderful activities, the more we engage, what are we doing? We're moving forward in Krishna consciousness. 4%, 5%, 6%, 7%, 8%, 9%, 10%. Finally, you reach that point of what? 100% Krishna consciousness. You see? Premanjana charito bhakti vilochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shamashundaram chit yoganasvarupam govinda madipurusham tamaham bhajami. Some devotees say, well, I don't want to become advanced because then I'll get puffed up. Bogus philosophy. Simply bogus. I better not become advanced because then I'll become proud. It's our duty to become pure devotees of Krishna. That's a thing. It's our duty. Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. You see? That's pure. When the Bible says, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. That's a fact. You have to become a pure devotee to see Krishna. So Prabhupada ordered me to become qualified to see Krishna. That wasn't just for me. Prabhupada wants each and every one of us to become pure devotees who can see Krishna face to face. You know that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? One day while engaged in household activities, I saw my house transform into Goloka Vrindavan. So while we're doing our service, we should try to do it in a very qualitative way with love. When we're associating with devotees, we should try to do everything in a very qualitative way, not begrudgingly that, oh, I have to do this, I have to serve you prasadam, here, take it. No. We have to understand every opportunity to serve devotees, associate with devotees, is the greatest blessing that we could ever receive in millions and millions of kalpas. Even just to see a devotee for 1/11th of a second. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hui. Even to associate with a devotee just for 1/11th of a second is a blessing more opulent than all the wealth of Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods. You see? So we have to learn how to associate with devotees. Do you know why this temple room is not full of people right now to hear the Bhagavatam class? Do you know why it's not packed? There's so many people here in Suva. Why they're not here for the Bhagavatam class? Because we haven't learned how to fully manifest that loving exchange. We're holding on to our lust, we're holding on to our greed, we're holding on to fault-finding, pride, anger, these negative things. We're holding on to them. So we're not creating an atmosphere that becomes magnetic enough to fill this temple room every morning for Bhagavatam class. So it's not hopeless. It's predicted that everyone will join this movement. Prabhupada has actually written that everyone will chant these names. Is actually given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He's the perfect knower of past, present, and future. So that day will come when everyone will join this movement. And that day will come when we become expert and we become proficient in the art of sadhu sangha. When we actually learn how to appreciate the devotees. How to love the devotees, how to serve the devotees. And we become very, in our movement, here in Fiji and all over the world, when we become mature as a society, when we become very mature in this art of how to associate with devotees according to Rupa Goswami's instructions, that's the day when the whole world will come to this movement. You may say, well, it's never going to happen. Don't give me this hype. It'll never happen. But it is not my saying. It is the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj. Sats jana durjana pangu jada andaghana ja prema vanyaya dubaila jagatera jana. You know the Bengali? Any Bengali devotees here? Any Bengalis? No, so I will give you translation then. Yes. So it is actually sat jana, but by the rules of sandhi, it becomes sadjana. Sadjana. So sat jana means those jana who are sat, who are pious. You see, the pious men, sat jana, and then of course durjana, the bad people. The gundas, the rogues, the rascals, karmis, you see, durjana. Sadjana durjana pangu, the lame, those who need a wheelchair or a cane, who can't get around very well, the lame, pangu. What is the next line? Let's see that. There's jada, those who are invalid. The lame, the invalid, and andha, the blind. So, and the next, prema vanyaya. What is that prema vanyaya? That is the Krishna consciousness movement. That tidal wave of love of God, that tsunami, that prema tsunami. You see? Prema vanyaya, dubaila, they become drowned, jagatera jana, everyone throughout the whole universe. So it is predicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj that the whole world will join all of Fiji, all of New Zealand, all of Australia, all of Indonesia, all of Iraq even. Can you imagine in Iraq, if everybody was Krishna conscious? I got some very great encouragement. I think maybe you have seen my DVD of my preaching in Turkey, where there was a whole hall full of Muslims who had never, ever heard of Hare Krishna. But this whole hall full of Muslims, I can show later on if you want to see, if you haven't seen him. A whole hall full, Veer Krishna Maharaj saw it and loved it. We showed it to him in North Carolina. But this whole hall full of Muslims is chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy. A hall packed with Muslims, practically everyone. There was one old man who sat there looking real skeptical, but everybody, all the young ones, they were chanting in delight, with great ecstasy, smiling and just going deep and like, oh, you know, just relishing like anything the holy name. So I could see the Muslims, or the Muslim world is actually ready for Krishna consciousness. Not the whole Muslim world, but there are certain portions of it where they're actually ready to take up Krishna consciousness. So there's great hope for this movement. In Fiji and all over the world, there is great, great hope that we're going to see a second wave. The first wave was when Prabhupada came. You see, there was nothing going on. And Prabhupada, by his power, by his potency, by his divine love for us, the living beings, entrapped within this material existence, he was able to ignite this incredible spiritual revolution. But have you not seen in the ocean, one wave comes, and then it breaks, and then another wave comes? So there are going to be more waves of inundation coming. It's not that, well, there was a big, huge thing that happened, and now the wave broke, and now there's nothing. No, more waves are coming. More waves, more inundation waves are coming. We just have to dive deeply into this ocean of Krishna consciousness. And then we can go for the ride, really. And this prema vinaya, it's like the surfers, they are looking for that ultimate wave that they can catch and go riding on eternally. That's their desire, innermost desire. Where is that wave I can just keep riding and riding and riding and riding? You see, they're looking for, they will not find such a wave in this material world. Their waves always are dissipated. But actually, if we really dive deeply enough into this ocean of Krishna prema, we will find a wave that we can ride on eternally. What is that wave that is described by Srila Prabhupada? That wave is the order of one's guru. That's actually the insider secret. The orders of your spiritual master. Just each and every one of you, I think you're mostly all initiated here, huh? Just think of whatever orders you have received from your spiritual master. Prabhupada explains that the order of the spiritual master is the life and soul of the disciple. He explains this. It was very nice. I was preaching in Estonia. A number of my disciples were there at that lecture, and I just came up in the Bhagavatam. It was a wonderful opportunity to dive deeply into the whole essence of the guru-disciple relationship. But Prabhupada explains that the disciple should always meditate on the order of his spiritual master. Always, constantly. Not only meditate, but he should worship it. Just like we offer arti to our Guru Maharaj, we worship him. But we are also meant to worship that order he's given us. That order must be worshipped. And we must try to execute that order also. Always trying to find out the ways and means to successfully carry out the order that we have received. And then Prabhupada also said, and this is an amazing point, he says, and to not to be disturbed by anything else. In other words, anything else besides carrying out the order of your spiritual master is a disturbance. If there's anything else in the heart besides Gurudev has ordered me to do this, therefore I must do this. If there's any other thought, it's simply a disturbance. It's a mental weed, actually. It's simply a weed. What has Gurudev ordered me to do? Simply, that's it. That's it. That is my life and soul. Everything else is a weed. To be, what do you do with the weeds in the garden? Uproot them and throw them away. You see? So if we have any thoughts in our brain separate from what Gurudev has ordered me to do, then I have to throw those weeds away. So that's the secret of how to ride. If we come to that point of being tightly attached to orders received from Guru Maharaj, then we will always be fixed. We'll always be riding that wave of Krishna prem at every minute, in all times, all places, and even at work, in all circumstances. So that is the pride and joy, the life and soul of the Vaishnava. What Guru Maharaj has ordered me to do, I'm simply meditating and trying to carry that out with love. So, we have about 60 seconds. If there's any questions?
So,
yes.
Sense of God came through Vyasadev, because he wasn't fully enlightened, he is going to come after moksha.
Vyasadev was... Tell me, I'm a little hard of hearing. Actually, quite hard of hearing.
When Vyasadeva wrote the Vedas,
yeah,
he came to this state where he was very emotional about it, very unhappy, unsatisfied with his work. Right?
I mean, he what?
Vyasadeva wrote the books, set of books.
Yeah, when he compiled the Vedas, okay.
And before he met Narada Muni, he was very dissatisfied with his work.
Vyasadeva
had compiled all the Vedic wisdom, but he was feeling depressed, actually. He wasn't feeling very enlivened. And he didn't know why. So Narada Muni came and he said, because you have failed to give exclusive attention to Lord Sri Krishna. You've described, you know, Ayurveda, you know, so many things. You know, all the aspects of how to gradually progress within this material world towards the transcendental platform. But you haven't really given the transcendental platform. You haven't emphasized it. You haven't emphasized Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Why was that? He was a very enlightened person. He was very calm. What happened to him? Why it happened to him? He was a very, very advanced person. Why it happened to him at that time? He was supposed to know everything.
What had happened to him that he didn't understand? It's an interesting question. We see that sometimes these great personalities, even though they're fully realized, Krishna puts them into a state of mind like he did Arjuna, just for the sake of a lesson being taught to us. So whether Vyasadeva was under the influence of the material nature, or he just appeared to be for the sake of Narada Muni being able to emphasize the pastimes and qualities and name, fame, form, etc. of Krishna. That would be an interesting question. Vedavyas being the literary incarnation of God, we think he must have been a fully enlightened being who was, by the Lord's arrangement, had not really done the full job yet, so Narada Muni could come and tell him, this is what you have to do to finish your job. You built a wonderful temple, you see, you've done all, but you didn't install the deities. The temple is here, but there's no deities. You've made all the arrangements now. It was like having the temple with no deities. He'd given all the background, but the central point, he hadn't brought it yet, Krishna. So anyway, speaking of the deities, now we can worship them with love. Drink in that sweet nectar of their darshan deeply into our hearts to drive all the lust, anger, greed, fault-finding, pride, etc., all that nasty stuff, to just get it out of our consciousness so we can be fully absorbed in bhakti all day long. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.